Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Welcome, everybody. 2024, first show of this year for Christian Polita Talk. It has.
I feel like it's been a minute since we've been with y'all.
It is. It's been a few weeks, and we've been having a very busy, crazy schedule. mixed amongst times of just not feeling well. On top of that, everything else. So, Welcome to the first show of 2024. Excited about that. Tonight, later on in the show, we're going to be talking about a new song. Basically a sermon for the new year from Psalm 149, 1 through 5. And, you know, the main idea here is a sermon for the new year about singing praise, worship, and rejoicing in salvation and faith. Whether you've never sung a song of faith, you've stopped singing one for one reason or another, or you just can't stop singing praise, a new year brings a fresh perspective, a new beginning, and opportunities to see the faithful hand of God in your life, right?
Indeed it does.
Speaking of that, you got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's Devotion Time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is called The Use of the Trumpet. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. That's from John 1:47. Jesus knew Nathanael. He said of him that he was an Israelite. But he was more than just an Israelite. Jesus used the trumpet of behold to announce him. He was an Israelite indeed, not just in word. As a Jew, Nathanael was brought up eating, drinking, and sleeping the law of Moses. He understood the true nature of sin, and like Paul, who was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, the great teacher of the law, he knew that sin was exceedingly sinful. That's from Romans 7:13. But Jesus went further by saying that Nathanael was without guile and without deceit, the ultimate character reference. He didn't twist the law as the Pharisees did, causing it to lose its power to reveal sin. Their traditions had become their doctrine, thus canceling out the purpose and effectiveness of the law. Nathanael did not fit this pattern. The law was a schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. That's from Galatians 3:24. The soul search tonight is my heart without deceit? Are my motives always pure before God? And the prayer, Father, search my deceitful heart today and show me if I am walking in guile.
There you go, amen. Wow, there's been a lot going on in the news since we've been on the show, right?
Oh my.
It's been kind of a whirlwind. You ready to jump into some of this?
I guess so.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
So one of the big headlines tonight is Letitia James is back in the hot seat. You remember her, right?
Oh, yes.
Letitia James is the New York AG. You know, she's like calling her fame hungry. Trump's attorneys are, but...
This is the one who thought she was going to be governor of New York, right?
Yep. This time she's urging a judge on this past Friday to force former President Trump to shell out $370 million for alleged shady real estate practices, in addition to permanently barring him from New York real estate industry. She's, you know, Trump's lawyer said that she's always been a bit fame-hungry human being that has put her politics in front of the interest of New York State, and that's the attorney that's representing Donald Trump. That's what she was telling the news. You know, how much more are you going to try to dig up, right? I mean, you've got all these things going on. You've got people, you know, still all these different states trying to say, let's get Trump off the ballot. But there is a twist of tales there now.
I'm sure.
Have you heard about that?
Well, I mean, I know about the states that are refusing to put him on the ballot, which is interesting considering he hasn't been convicted of anything yet.
Well, there's a turn of tales now as I ran across Missouri official threatens to remove Biden from 2024 presidential ballot if new legal standard boots Trump.
Well, now that would just be an interesting thing all the way around.
This is coming from Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. Says he'll make a move if other states disqualify Trump from running for a second term. So, you know, now this has moved on to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're expected to decide whether Trump can appear on the Republican primary ballots in Colorado after the state Supreme Court ruled he couldn't, citing the 14th Amendment's insurrection clause. And you know what yesterday was?
What was yesterday?
It was the anniversary of the fake insurrection.
Oh, yes. And I think this is very interesting that this is the tact that the U.S. Supreme Court wants to take.
Yeah.
Because it has not been proven or disproven whether or not there was an insurrection and who may or may not have been behind it.
Well, that's the thing. That's Colorado's Supreme Court saying, you know, they're citing the 14th Amendment insurrection clause, which, by the way, is something that was... came about during Civil War times.
Right.
Is what they're trying to bank this into. But considering he hasn't been found guilty of anything.
Right.
And everything they keep throwing at him. I mean, when's the last time you heard anything about documents? Probably the last time everybody kept bringing up documents about Joe Biden, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean... this thing is just going to keep going on and on and on and on and on. And now is the more important time than ever to get yourself involved in multiple media outlets, multiple news sources, and just don't take the word of one thing, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I actually was listening to something, I think it was yesterday, about people being upset with something that Nikki Haley had said about immigration law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand what she's trying to do. You know, her parents were immigrants, you know, and she wants to make sure that those people that should be here and for the opportunity of a better life and that sort of thing, that they're going through the correct channels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to become citizens, or if they've been sort of swept up in this wave that's just been crossing the border and, you know, it's kind of like, well, we were invited because nobody's ever turned them around and said, no, you're not invited anymore. And, you know, there's been a lot of very upset folks out there to, you know, in regard to her statements. And, you know... You're never going to please everybody all the time.
No, you're not.
But, you know, she's not taking a hard line and like, okay, everyone who's crossed the border, you know, if I win the election, I'm going to go and send out all these people, get all the illegal immigrants and send them back where they came from.
Yep.
You know, she's not saying that. And she's also not saying that anybody who's come in should be here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And... you know, it's interesting, you know, I seen a story, I think it was yesterday, where New York, as a sanctuary city, is trying to sue Texas bus companies for bringing the migrants to New York.
Okay, yeah, because that's a litigation that's worthy.
And here's something else to trip you, Trigger. You see this? California state health insurance to cover sex changes for illegal immigrants.
Ooh, okay, whoa.
Nearly 700,000 illegal immigrants between 26 and 49 will qualify.
And that's why everyone's leaving California.
Yeah, you know,
we don't mind if you come visit us here in South Carolina, but please don't stay.
You know, this is tax dollars going to pay for this stuff. Not, you know, immoral is the big way to look at this. And illegal is the other way to look at this.
And it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money because you have to be able to go through psychological profiling for several years and actually start taking hormones and everything before they can decide whether or not you're mentally capable of handling a sex change operation. Oh, yeah. So saying that, you know, all of these people are going to get one and the state of California is going to pay for it. Well, you know, you're only going to bankrupt yourself. You know, mm-hmm. you're already pretty much there as it is, California. I hate to tell you, but in case you haven't noticed, you've had a mass exodus of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a very mass exodus of people. And we were talking about that just, I think it was Friday, as a matter of fact. You mm-hmm. and I were talking about it, about the number of California cars and the number of Texas cars and Arizona and, you know, other southwestern or far south, you know, far west coast states that are, you know, moving into the area. And it's yeah. just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like we don't need anybody coming in here trying to shake things up and make our states more like the state that they came from. It's like if you want to adjust to be more like us, that's fine. But if you want us to adjust around you, that's not so fine.
Yep.
Because, you know, we kind of like the way things are here.
Yep. See, you remember back during COVID when all the truck drivers were protesting and, you know, vaccine mandates.
Right.
Things like that. And, you know, what was Canada doing? They were hauling off their trucks and things like that, right?
Yeah. Because, like, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, now the Toronto police actually have some answering to do because, there's some stuff going on there with the Toronto police,
mm-hmm.
and there's some things that are being done and said that kind of like
dealing with like Muslim supporters versus Israeli supporters, and that, you know, they're allowing these anti-Israel protesters to be just on the edge of a Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah, they're handing coffee to them.
Yeah.
Near a Jewish neighborhood.
Now, I mean, come on.
It's really saddening is what it is.
I mean, I'm not saying that people don't have the right to protest things, but when your protest starts looking more like a hate crime,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. And when you're getting other countries involved in this now, and the same thing is happening there, I mean, where does it end?
Well, I mean, you know, they cracked down on the Freedom Convoy of truckers and pro-life demonstrations, but it's okay for, you know, for people to come out there and stand against Israel, and you're going to give them coffee.
Right. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, regardless of, you know, what is being said, I mean, these are the things that are happening around this country, around the world. It's really sad, right?
Yeah, and you know, and speaking of things like these protests, which, I mean, if you really want to talk about insurrections, are these insurrections? I don't know. But I do think it's interesting that, and I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have already heard about this, but the president from Harvard was, I guess she, quote unquote, resigned.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it was more like refired. And that Barack Obama,
yeah,
was speaking out in favor of her. And I'm like, dude, no one even cares.
Yeah, they were.
You're not relevant anymore. So step back.
Yeah, he was speaking out. I mean, there's a lot of talk of anti-Semitism. There's a lot of talk of plagiarism, amongst other things that has, you know, and now she's claiming racism is what got her ousted.
No. I think it was gaslighting some stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed she was a huge gaslighter as far as this whole Hamas-Israeli thing has been going on. And, I mean, really?
Well, you know, Gay was Harvard's first black president and, you know, resigning after ignited controversy with comments regarding anti-Semitism on the university's campus and facing several charges of plagiarism, right?
Yes. And, you know, when you go before the House and the Senate and you want to spew that kind of stuff that she was spewing about, you know, her thoughts and feelings about what was going on and all this kind of stuff, and that they were, yes, they were in support of people being able to protest. No, no, because it all goes back to the fact that they are, and by they, I mean universities, colleges, higher education, they are still receiving very malleable minds. You know, because you're right there between being a quote unquote child and a quote unquote adult, and their minds are still very open and very receptive to ideas and can very easily be manipulated.
Yep.
You know, I remember when I was in college, this kind of conversation had just started. But, you know, I didn't feel like I was being subjected to anything. But really, this is exactly what all that's about, is they're able to put their opinions on these students and then they go and protest.
Yep. Well, you know, she's just claiming now that it isn't about plagiarism or anti-Semitism. It's about racism and intimidation, is what she's claiming now. Even after she said all of those things and coming out, you know, publicly saying stuff like that. So say what you want, say what you will. What can you strike this stuff up to?
I honestly don't know. I think that maybe it's because parents have taken a step back and they've tried to give their children more freedom, but in giving them more freedom, they've actually provided them with less structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anybody that allows them to feel the way that they want to feel and be entitled and all of these different things, I think that that certainly has a part in everything.
It is. And, you know, there's just so many different kind of stories and angles and things that you can take on all this that I really don't know which direction to attack it from, to be honest with you.
No, and you know, because we have a preteen, a teen, and an almost 21-year-old coming up next year.
This year, you mean?
This year, yes. Right. I'm going to be writing all kinds of 23 on everything for the next 6 months. So, but, you know, I have talked with other parents, and the types of issues that we have seen in our children, it's not just our children. It's children sort of across the board. And I don't know when parents lost control of their children and who decided to let them speak their minds and told them that was okay. But, you know, we're finding ourselves in a real situation right now.
Oh yeah, we definitely are. And you know, there was an interesting story that I was trying to come back to. Mike Pence has had some interesting things to say.
I'm sure.
He's talking about Biden focusing on his campaign on January 6th riot because of his failed policies that weakened America. And that's why, you know, he also condemned the efforts to keep former President Trump off the GOP primary ballots as well. He said on Sunday, you know, he argued that President Biden has been using January 6th at the U.S. Capitol as a focus for his 2024 presidential campaign to distract Americans from his administration's poor record that has weakened America at home and abroad. And Pence appeared on CNN's State of the Union from Israel, where he was visiting families of those taken hostage by Hamas terrorists on October 7th attack. He said, I actually don't think the election's going to be decided on a tragic day 3 years ago, Pence said. It's going to be decided on the failed policy of the Biden administration that has embroiled the enemies of freedom around the world, that has launched the worst inflation, that created the worst crisis on our border in American history. And I say I would definitely agree with that.
But, you know, the thing is Mike Pence.
He's a little soft.
He's very wishy-washy because, you know, he could have made a huge difference in what happened on January 6th.
Oh, yeah.
And he chose not to do that.
Right.
Which was his prerogative. I mean, in the position that he held, that was his prerogative. But then he wants to come back and try to join the train for the 2024 election, and he just bombs out completely. You know, so yeah. I'm not really sure why anyone is focusing on what he wants to talk about.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily focusing on what he's talking about. I just think I think it's a definite point that he drew a lot of light on the truth here.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
On what's going on and the way people are seeing things. I thought his points were kind of on point for what he was saying there.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking in terms of, well, when you had an opportunity to make a difference, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you're irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, as the months move on and as we move forward, you know, things are definitely going to heat up, you know, as far as the presidential race is going. And it's definitely something that you got to be prayerful and thought about and keep your eyes on because, you know, there is a lot. And I mean, I know it's been said almost every presidential election is like, oh, there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, if you think back at any other time of that statement, at any other point in history, at any other time in your life, is there a truer time than now to really stand back and say, you know what, you're right?
Yeah.
I mean, would you?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, the truth is the truth.
Yep.
And I mean, if that's what you're speaking, then more power. But, you know, when you start trying to put shade on other stuff, it starts to kind of dilute your argument.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, this is something we're going to have to follow a lot more closely over the next couple of weeks and months, you know, throughout, I mean, all the way up till November, really, you know.
Yep. Yep.
It's something that we'll have to talk about weekly.
And like we have said before and like we will say again, you know, make sure that you are really looking into all of the candidates. Don't just watch their, you know, their big speech times and things like that. Really, really look into the candidate that you're interested in voting for and make sure that they align with what you feel would be the best direction for this country to go in.
I mean, honestly, you know, at this point, it doesn't necessarily have to be about Biden and Trump, you know.
Absolutely not.
You know, there are plenty of, you know, there's several other good contenders for the GOP spot. You know, Nikki Haley being one of them has kind of been standing out.
Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis has been standing out. And, I mean, Trump has been standing out. But, you know, with him, with everything that's been going on, we really haven't heard him say a whole lot because he really hasn't been out in the forefront. He hasn't been involved in any of the talks or any of the debates or anything like that. So right. We're just going to have to keep watching it.
He's kind of doing things sort of under the radar, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not exactly in the basement, but right. You know,
right.
Hey, but there's that.
Yes.
All right. You ready to move on into some learning?
Yes.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. All right, as I said at the beginning of the show, a sermon for the new year and a sermon for the new year about singing praise, worship, and rejoicing in salvation and faith. Whether you've never sung a song of faith or you've stopped singing for one reason or another or you just can't stop singing praise, a new year brings a fresh perspective of new beginning and opportunities to see the faithful hand of God in your life. And, you know, think about it like this. New clothes, new car smell, a new home with a new address, a new job. There's just something about new things, isn't there? Something that heightens our senses and makes us more aware and in many cases more excited. A fresh start, a blank canvas, a new year. These are things ripe with possibility. And what will the new year bring? What will I paint on this canvas? What will be very different about this coming year? What things am I ready to put behind me and where will I end up? What things will I finally let go of and what new things will I take up? You know, starting at a fresh calendar can fill us with anticipation or in some cases trepidation. As we investigate the beginning of another new year together, I thought it would be a good time to see what the Bible might have to say about it all. What wisdom do the scriptures offer for these specific seasons of newness? Beginning, starting fresh, or in some cases starting over. We know that God will be with us always and that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what does this mean, you know, this year? And as I'm sure you're thinking, what does it mean for my life, right? As C.S. Lewis said, you're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. So maybe it's time for another goal or a new dream. Maybe it's time for a new song. So for those of you wondering about the title of tonight's message, it comes from the book of Psalm, which happens to be a collection of poems, songs, and hymns that the people of God have been singing and reciting for many hundreds of years. The Psalms were meant to be sung, or in more popular terms, the Psalms are the ancient playlists of the people of God. And today we're looking at one of those specific Psalms, and we think about the significance of a new year. So praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of His faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with trembling harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let His faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. And that's Psalm 149, 1 through 5. So to sing a new song would indicate an ancient, you know, to an ancient reader that there was an event to commemorate. In other words, a new song marks an event worth remembering, and apparently it's also one worth celebrating. We should also take note that the Psalms are meant to be sung in community, by the community, as the events of, you know, old are rightly understood, not to impact just one, but everyone. A new job just doesn't impact one person, it impacts a family. A new home marks the beginning of new memories for everyone involved. I fear sometimes that we see events only as they impact us as individuals, but the reality is that singular events have ripple effects. You may have heard of a phenomenon called the butterfly effect, right? Which is the notion that the world is deeply interconnected such that one small occurrence can influence a much larger and much more complex system. The effect is named after the allegory for chaos theory. It evokes the idea that a small butterfly flapping its wings in one part of the world could hypothetically cause a typhoon elsewhere. Have you ever thought of your decisions like that before? Does that, you know, that even the small, seemingly insignificant things you do every day could have such a large impact on the world around you? Did Jeff Bezos think that Amazon would grow into a trillion-dollar company, impacting hundreds of millions of families every day? Did Banting, Best, and McLeod think that their work with insulin would save millions upon millions of lives, impacting generations of families for decades to come? These are extreme examples, but did you know that the same principle is true for faith as well? Small decisions of faith can make eternal impact on your present and future family for countless generations to come. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 7. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your ancestors, and that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from a land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, and he is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who loved him and keep his commandments. That's from Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 9. So God is thinking about his people to the 1,000th generation. Are we thinking about our families 1, 2, or 3 generations from now? What if your small decision of faith today could impact your great-great-grandchildren? What would you do? I ask, there are several different types, you know, people listening tonight. There are those who've never sung the song of faith before. You've been watching from a distance, sizing things up, considering whether to jump in. There are others who've stopped singing for one reason or another. You've been hurt, discouraged, distracted, or disillusioned. And it's been a while since you felt the urge to praise the Lord. And finally, there are people listening who can't stop singing. They're full of faith, and they've seen the unfailing love of God in their life, and they want everyone else to know about it. So I'm sure there may be other groups I've missed, but these are the three groups I want to focus on tonight, and I'm going to use Psalm 149 as a filter to read another passage of Scripture together called the Parable of the Sower. It can be found at the very beginning of Matthew 13. So that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They were withered because they had no root. Another seed fell along thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where they produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. From Matthew 13, 1 through 9. So as I read the parable tonight, is there a group you identify with more than another? Let's start with those listening who've never sung the song of faith before. So those who've never sung the song of faith before, in the parable we see that there's a group of people for whom the seed, which represents the gospel, has been scattered, but something comes and steals the seed away before it can take root. In the natural world, a seed needs a certain type of environment to take root and grow. The question tonight for some of you is what type of environment have you been living in? Is it one where the seed of the gospel can grow? Is it one that promotes singing, worship, and praise of the Lord? Or is your environment focused on other things? Does your environment need to change today, and are you ready to make that change? Today could be the day that you start singing. It could be the perfect day for you to put, you know, a new song up for the Lord in your mouth and sing it. And then there are those who have stopped singing for one reason or another. In contrast to those who have never sung, or those who have had the gospel seed stolen from their lives, or those who stopped singing. Those who began to grow in faith but grew too fast or were choked out by what our parable calls the thorns. Does that sound like you today? Did you get going too fast without a root system that could support you? Did you get discouraged, distracted, or disillusioned? Did you get burnt out and scorched? If that sounds like your story, it's nothing to feel badly about. In fact, it's more common than you think. The enemy of our souls is far too good at his job for us to think that we won't experience seasons of discouragement and doubt. The trick is to stay faithful through these difficult seasons, to keep growing even if the growth seems minimal, to keep singing even when it hurts, even when it's frustrating. Today is a good day to lay aside the past, forgive, and move on forward in your faith. Today is a good day to start singing again. Remember, C.S. Lewis said, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. If you and I have breath in our lungs, it's never too late to take up our proverbial crosses and start back up after Jesus. And as we do, we join in step with the faithful church who's been singing and praising and weathering the storms of life for thousands of years. And third group is those who can't stop singing about the joy for their salvation. So finally, there are those of you listening who are filled up with faith. We praise God for you, and we need you. We need you to sing loudly, raise your hands high, and help lead the way for the rest of us. We need your encouragement and excitement. And as the parable to sower says, there's a harvest of righteousness that springs forth from your life. That harvest begins here as you encourage the saints through your own faith. So let it rip tonight, friends. Today is a good day as any to sing loudly and boldly before the Lord, as Psalm 149 says. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with trembling harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful people rejoice in His honor and sing for joy on their beds, from Psalm 149, 2 through 5. It's an honor to praise the Lord. It's a joy to be His people and to be counted as the King's adopted sons and daughters. It's a good day as any to sing. So I don't know where you find yourself tonight, but I do know where we can find God. He's right where He's always been, right where we can find Him over and over again. He's faithful and true to His church. Please take some time to consider where you are in your faith, because here's the reality. I guarantee that the minute we end this show tonight, there will be countless distractions and disruptions. There's a very real enemy of your soul who wants to steal away the good seed of the gospel in your life. An enemy who wants to choke the faith out of you and to see you wither and die away. But this isn't what God wants. He has a plan and a purpose, from Jeremiah 29:11. He works all things together for good, from Romans 8:28. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, from Malachi 3:6 and Hebrews 13:8. He loves you and gave His only Son so that you and I could have eternal life, from John 3:16. He's worth singing about tonight. Our Savior is worthy of our praise. He's ready to put a new song on our lips and in our mouths. The question is, are we ready to receive it? Are you ready? Maybe it's time for another goal or a new dream. Or just maybe it's time for a new song. What do you think about that?
Wow, that was deep. Yeah. You know, I like the parables. The parables, you know, allow you to kind of see it from a perspective that may be easier to understand.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that everyone wavers at some point in faith, either, you know, willingly or unwillingly. You know, if things just aren't going right in your life and, you know, you've been praying and asking for help and everything, and you just haven't seen that happen yet, that doesn't mean that God hasn't heard you.
Nope.
That doesn't mean that He's not going to help you. That just means that you have to be patient and have faith that something is going to come your way that's going to solve your problems. And I am the world's worst for that. I, you know, I pray and I'm like, okay, suck it to me. And the response is crickets.
Yep.
Because it's
you're not thinking about your time.
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking about my time. Like, okay, I'm ready. Hit me with it. Let her rip.
Yep. Let me have it. sock it to me.
Yeah, and it's not letter rip, sock it to me. It's like you need to be open to receive those messages. You need to listen for your calling. You need to just wait for that moment. And sometimes it's so hard. And, you know, like right now, financially, there are a lot of people who have been laid off for almost a year now, or maybe than a year. And I see them posting things all the time about how they are so desperate that, you know, they're on the edge of homelessness, or, you know, they're facing this issue or that issue.
I mean, even people that are working hard every day are facing those issues now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the type of person that I am, I want to reach out and do whatever I can to help anybody. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not supposed to be the answer to someone's prayers, but sometimes I am. And in those situations, I don't look at that like, look what I did for that person. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm glad that they have found their way.
Yep. That's the way you have to be about it. That's the only way you can be about it.
And that's the way we should be to each other every day is, you know, don't hide your talents from somebody else. Don't withhold information from somebody else. If you know of something that's going to help somebody, or you can do a little bit more than you've been doing, do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's only going to come back to you.
Definitely.
But it will also come back to you if you don't reach out and help somebody.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for all those people out there who fit in the category of, you know, you've never sang that song, you know, tonight's the night to turn things around. And, you know, you can do it wherever you are right now. You know, have you ever admitted you're a sinner? Ever, you know, realizing that you must be willing to turn from that sin and repent and believe that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for those sins? All you have to do is just simply pray and invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. You don't have to be in a specific anything. You can just simply open your heart and pray a simple prayer like this. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, there it is. It's time to start moving, time to start working. What's some of the most important things you can do when you first give your life to the Lord?
Get yourself a Bible.
Get yourself a Bible. Start digging in. Start learning and yearning and wanting to eat and feast on that word. Get involved in a small group, right?
Right.
Start meeting with like-minded people. Start learning together. Get yourself in a good Bible-based church, one that teaches on the Word. You know, start learning how to pray. It's no different than having a conversation. You're talking to God. There's no conduit between you and God. There's nobody standing in between you. You just open your eyes and talk to God. I do it all the time. Mary Beth does it all the time.
Yes, I do.
It's just what you have to do. Start praying about the real things that are going on in this world. Start praying for peace over in Israel. Start praying for, you know, pray for the government. You know, the Bible says, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Pray for the government. Pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places so everybody can get to know him better and start making better decisions for everyone, right?
Right.
That's what it's all about. You got any other last-minute thoughts over there tonight?
I do not. I sort of expounded earlier.
She has expounded everything.
I have expounded.
Well, we're getting back on track for this year. In 2024, we're going to have lots of great shows, lots of great topics coming up, lots of great messages. And, you know, like we said earlier in the show, start exploring all the different news media outlets. Don't rely on just one. Start, you know, looking for differences between the stories. Start, you know, building your own repertoire of ideas and things and thoughts. You know, it's really about, you know, usually your first thought on something that hits you deep in the heart is usually where the truth lies in a lot of things, right?
Yep.
So, you know, just start building and learning and yearning and, you know, praying for all these things for more truth to come to light, because in the end, that's really what it's about, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, as always, we appreciate everybody joining us each week. We look forward to it Sunday night, 7 o'clock. You know, we really look forward to, doing the shows every week and getting started and ramped up here in 2024. We appreciate the support. We've been in this almost, this will be the fourth year.
Yep.
Of this show.
Sure will be.
Wow. You know, 151 shows that we've had here. And, you know, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, we love seeing where the audience is reaching. I mean, we've seen all over the world, you know, downloads, you know, go out, and it's really, really encouraging. And, you know, the very first show, I said, if one person is saved because of something they hear here, it's a win, right? It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out to us, ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolitiTalk. @gmail.com. We're going to leave you with a commercial here at the end. Give it to you one more time. We appreciate it. We'll see everybody right here next Sunday night. Everybody have a great week. Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolitiTalk, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, clouds all around, couldn't see your face. Darkness consumed.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.